live from the Nashville Sports Radio Studios. This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show. Call Johnny now at 844-5600 and online at WNSR.com. And now, here's Johnny.
And happy Tuesday, everyone. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Zach Williams. We'll be with you until 6 tonight. If you'd like to be a part of the show, 615-844-5600, 844-5600. Coming up a little bit later this hour, around 4:35, Barry Wilner, the pro football writer with the Associated Press up in New York. Also, just after 5, Doug Segrist joins us out of Birmingham, talking SEC football. He's a co-host on the TV show The Zone in Birmingham on ABC 3340 and a contributor to the Montgomery Advertiser. And then finally around 5:35, Eric Bacharach. He's the Titans beat writer for the Tennessean. Happy Tuesday to you on this beautiful weather day here in Nashville, Zach.
You know, you say that in jest because it's obviously gross outside. But I enjoy this kind of weather. I like cloudy, overcast days, and I know even I'm gonna double down on that. I like it when it's misty, kind of not raining,
well,
but
that's
like
what
misty.
That's exactly what we were getting this morning.
Yeah.
And it's appropriate, you know, with Halloween coming up on Saturday night. I mean, this is that kind of weather. Now I'm not sure what Halloween looks like this year, but you know, this is that kind of weather that would be perfect for trick or treating.
Yeah, there's gonna be a blue moon on Saturday night. Halloween,
yeah.
Blue moon. You know? Do you know the what? I just learned this, so I'm not trying to spread my bragging here, but I just found this out. Do you know why they call it a blue moon?
You know, I used to know this, but go ahead, enlighten me.
So it means there's two new moons, or full moons, that is, inside of the same cycle, inside of the same phasing of the moon. So the second one is called the blue moon, and then that's where you get the term once in a blue moon, because it doesn't happen often.
Can you imagine what that would be like before you were granted this knowledge? And, you know, go back a couple hundred years ago and you're looking up and you're seeing that, and how bizarre that would be.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so big and bright, right? But this is the other thing, too. A lot of people think the moon's actually not blue. It's just called a blue moon because of the occurrence of it. So that's why the beer is also called blue moon, because you enjoy it every once in a while.
Especially if you throw some oranges in there.
Yeah, which every once in a while you want to do that. That's the whole idea for their company. You learn something every day.
You know, it's just one of those things that you actually get your vitamin C. That is perfect. You know, the orange in the beer, you know, goes great.
Yeah, the positive really takes away the negative of alcohol.
Yeah, that's just throwing that out there.
You know what you get when you mix a positive and a negative?
Go ahead. Tell
a
me.
Negative.
Yeah, thank you. Hey, by the way, speaking of negative, you know, the Jets have gone down this road before when they had the opportunity to select one Peyton Manning, except Peyton Manning forgot to tell the Jets he wasn't coming out, and he came back for one more year to be the quarterback for the Tennessee Vols. And this was after a 1-15 New York Jets team, by the way. I bring it up because they're winless so far. The Jets are 0-7, and Trevor Lawrence may have just broken their hearts. Because, you know, he said his mindset has been that I'm going to move on, meaning after this year, Trevor Lawrence will make himself available for the upcoming draft. However, he said earlier today, but who knows? There's a lot of things that could happen. That would be just like so New York Jets-like.
Well, see, this is the thing. With that whole situation, you can't... This is really hard to say. I'm not going to say that I know more than the Jets, but I really hope in this situation the Jets know more than I do, because why in the world would be moving on from Sam Darnold, who you gave no time and no talent around him, by the way?
He has no. I mean, you look at the wide receivers and
he has
like,
nothing around him.
There's nothing there. And then I don't know what the heck they were thinking with Le'Veon Bell.
And it's not
why even bring him on board if he was never going to be a part of that offense?
And not even that. Not even the skill position. You're talking about the front line. Everything has been just terrible. They've done nothing. And moving on from a guy like Sam Darnold, who hasn't even got a shot, picking up Trevor Lawrence does not help you. That doesn't. That keeps you in the exact same spot. So I really wonder if the Jets would actually take Trevor Lawrence number one. I could see them trying to dish off the first pick to somebody.
You're forgetting there's another name and he's emerging, and he looked really great last week against Nebraska. Justin Fields closing the gap between Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields.
Well, even if any quarterback at all, I just don't see them taking any quarterback to fill a need that really isn't there. It's like the one thing they do have is a quarterback for the Jets. They have a quarterback. Sam Darnold's not bad. He just can't play with, you know, the Jamison Crowder is the only person he could possibly throw the ball to at any time. And that's why Crowder ends up having 15 receptions a game. But it's just you got to do something more around him. And then you hear today that they're possibly shopping off Quinnen Williams, the former Alabama lineman who, you know, once again, he's only been there for 2 years. He was drafted here in Nashville 2 years ago.
Exactly.
And you're wondering what in the world are they thinking?
Well, he did cost the Jets a game earlier this year.
You know, but he's not the reason they lost.
Well, that particular game he did because, you know, he nice sack with using the face mask, which prolonged the drive, and they end up getting beat in that ball game. So
Could they have scored more points in that game? Yes. Oh, could they have stopped him somewhere else?
Well, I don't know. You are talking about the New York Jets. You are asking for a little too much about scoring.
It's just
more.
It's really strange the way that that's all looking. But I understand Trevor Lawrence for not wanting to go there because clearly it's you know, this is his future as well. And we've seen this numerous times. Good quarterbacks go to bad teams, and all of a sudden people want to say that's a bad quarterback. Overhype it.
But yeah, but you also want to go there mainly because it's New York, and just think about the endorsement deals that you can have if you're a Trevor Lawrence. I mean, it is New York.
He's going to get endorsement deals no matter where he goes.
I know, but it's different.
He's going to have head and shoulders for sure with the hair like that.
It's different if you're going to New York. But, you know, there are just certain teams I start to wonder about. I mean, the Jets, one of them, I don't understand why they're always lousy. I mean, always. Speaking of that, did you get a chance to watch the Monday night game last night?
Regrettably, I watched a little bit of it.
Rams. You know, and I go back to the fact that, you know, better defense, better offense, and that played out on the football field last night. Give full credit to Jared Goff and the Rams. I mean, this was a Rams team 2 years ago. They were in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean they played well, and you wonder about the Bears where they're going as well, just how they are with the Jets. I mean, I feel like you could say the Bears and the Jets are the same exact kind of team, but they just have different records right now. The games have fallen a little differently, but I wouldn't say that, you know, yeah, I would say the Bears defense is definitely better than the Jets defense, but as a team as a whole, I mean, there's a lot of comparisons in where that offense and team idea is going. They had Mike Davis at one point for the Bears, right? And then they fished him away, and he's having success now in Carolina. And David Montgomery was their guy. They got rid of Jordan Howard, who was a top running back in the NFL in rushing yards, and they got rid of him because they wanted to go all in on Montgomery. And, you know, it's just not worked out. Montgomery looked terrible last night.
Hey, explain to me, I heard you at, you're talking about this with George, but the trade that the Cowboys, you know, trading away their defensive end, Everson Griffin, to the Detroit Lions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure this out. You know, he's has, what, a couple, 2.5 sacks this year for the Cowboys. Why are you trading any of your defensive talent away if you're the Cowboys?
Well, there's one or two things, right? So they're getting back a six-round pick for that.
That
so,
could become a fifth-round pick, depending on right. from the condition standpoint.
And so they're getting also to dump his $6 million salary over to the Lions. I think it's half of that is what they'll end up spending, so like $3 million is what they'll be able to get rid of. There's two thoughts. One is they are just starting to say, you know what, the season's over, and they're washing their house. You know, they had Griffin in. They wanted to see if he could make a run, and Dak is just being injured has ruined the entire season. That's one of these obstacles. The second one is maybe they're trying to make some moves to find somebody else to bring in, or to maybe they have somebody they think that they can bring up and save some money to look towards maybe another quarterback signing. I'm not sure, but it kind of seems like wholesale mode to me right now.
Hey, by the way, you know, Tua Tagovailoa getting his first start coming up this week, and you know, you brought up about the possibility of the Cowboys maybe they should think about trying to lure Ryan Fitzpatrick away.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing working against that. You know, the Dolphins, and knowing that the Indianapolis Colts have to play the Titans twice still, right, as far as from the AFC South, the fact that the Dolphins, they're only a game out of that seventh playoff spot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're right there in the thick of things, And so you wonder if they would be so willing to make that. I don't even know if they even believe in their own abilities to be able to make the playoffs. But they're right there. I mean, somebody's got to be the seventh team as far as the AFC is concerned.
Well, we didn't even talk about this last week just because we weren't able to. But the Tua move up made no sense. I mean, they're 3-3 on the year, and Fitzpatrick's had a really good season so far compared to a lot of other quarterbacks in the NFL that are starting. So
is it the upside they're thinking, though? But maybe it's the upside they're thinking that, just like we're seeing what Joe Burrow has done with Cincinnati, what Justin Herbert has done with the Chargers, that maybe Tua Tagovailoa is that guy that all of a sudden can get the Dolphins on a roll.
They kind of are on a roll, though. You know what I mean?
Hey, look, they've got a two-game winning streak.
So you look. Let's just use it the properties around what we saw, the contextually here. They beat the San Francisco 49ers handedly. Wasn't even a close game, and that was all because Ryan Fitzpatrick was able to throw the ball effectively. Then you have San Francisco go up against the New England Patriots, who got destroyed by the 49ers. This team, and you look at the Bills, how they're slipping. You look at all these different pieces. They have a chance to take over that East 100%. They have a great chance, and it makes no sense to change the team chemistry, to put in a new kid who, you know, he's still a rookie. Yeah, he's got the talent. We all know that, and we've seen it a million times, but it's a lot different when those lights get hot in the NFL. And when you got a guy that's rolling that has a team behind him like Ryan Fitzpatrick has, and he even said in his quote that he was, you know, he was really disheartened. He felt sad the whole day that he had to hang out with the guy that they gave him the starting job to, and he also felt like it was finally his team, and so much had started going forward that they made that move. It really throws a lot of red flags up that what was it that they didn't like about Ryan Fitzpatrick? Because on the field, it looked great. And I'm not saying there was anything off the field. I'm just saying there's something there. He's not the future, but he could be the right now, which they're finding success with. I mean, like you said, they're a game back from getting into that seventh spot, but they're not that far back from winning the East as well. Like, it's still anyone's division there.
Well, how good of a team are they? And that's what they have to ask. But, you know, here's the part that's pretty interesting. You know, there's only one team with a better defense as far as points allowed this year than the Dolphins, and that's the Baltimore Ravens. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Dolphins have only allowed 113 points this year.
And they put up 40-plus points on a good 49ers defense. So, I mean, there's the team is not bad. That team is – they spent more money than anybody this offseason to build their team, and it's a weird – I don't know. This is a weird – I think this is a real cash grab to start selling Tua jerseys and start branding that guy as your future. I just think they're doing it at the wrong time.
Well, I think a lot of it, once again, goes back to the success that Justin Herbert has had with the Chargers and also Joe Burrow with Cincinnati. And I think that that's the main reason why. Because here's the thing, how much of a run can the Dolphins make this year? You know, Buffalo is going to win the division, although in the loss column, the Dolphins are only a game back of the Bills as far as with the Bills 5-2
record. And you can't tell me the Bills have looked good recently either, because they've looked terrible.
Right, but they are 3-0 inside the division. Dolphins have already lost twice inside the division, and so you got a problem there. And, you know, a lot of things would still have to fall into place for the Dolphins to get that seventh spot, and I don't think that the organization believes that this is the year. I think it's all working this year towards next year being the year to make a run.
Maybe. I don't know. A bird in the hand's worth two in the bush, and right now they got one in the hand that they can at least try. So that's my thought on it. But once again, I don't get paid millions to make these decisions. They're doing that there in Miami, and if they think that's the way to go, that's the way to go. But it just seems a little crazy to me.
Yeah, but you go back, though. If Ryan Fitzpatrick was ever going to be that guy, he would have already been that guy. And so there are just certain individuals that can win you a game or two here and there and all that, but we've seen it time and time again. We've seen it here in Nashville. We've seen it with the New York Jets. We've seen it with Tampa Bay. There's just so much upside that Ryan Fitzpatrick brings. He is not the guy that's going to lead you to a championship. He's just not that guy.
I think he could do it in the East, the NFC East, right there with the Giants and Washington team.
Well, anybody could at this point. You know, and look, I don't really disagree with a move like that. You know, somebody's got to win the East. And, I mean, and the Cowboys, that makes a lot of sense if they go down that road.
Yeah, and they have all the talent in the world in Dallas. It makes no sense for them not to bring somebody that they can't rely on a rookie quarterback that nobody even hardly knows his name. You know that it's just not going to work.
Do you like Mike McCarthy as head coach of the Cowboys?
I do. I just think he still hasn't made it his team yet. You know, you still have Jason Garrett's offensive coordinator over that McCarthy chose to keep on to keep the continuity of everything.
That was kind of bizarre right there, though. Why would you do that? That made no sense to me whatsoever.
Maybe he just wants to show up for the money. I you know, that's the other side of it. It's a strange little ballet that's happening in Dallas because, I mean, everything showed that this was going to be their season, and it has been abysmal so far.
Oh, Tampa Bay, by the way, got some interesting news as far as injury-wise. Chris Godwin got the little broken finger there. So
his third injury, by the way, this season in three different body parts. That's not good.
But, you know, with that said, I mean, it certainly has not seemed to impact what Tom Brady and company. Who's having the last laugh at this point as far as Brady or Bill Belichick?
Oh, I mean, it has to be Brady right now. Still a long season, though.
It's still a long season, but, you know, Tampa Bay looking really good at this point. If you'd like to be a part of the show, feel free to weigh in. You know, and by the way, how about the Titans this week? Going to have a chance and opportunity to see Joe Burrow up close in person with as they make the road trip up to Cincinnati to take on the Bengals. That should be interesting to see what type of success Joe Burrow can have against that Titans defense, especially that secondary coming up this week.
My guess is a good amount of success.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, one of the things that we noticed at LSU, and it certainly has shown up this year, first of all, you're going to be tested a lot. And so if you're going to be testing that secondary that many times, 50 attempts or so, you know, you feel like there's going to be some breakdowns here and there where – you know, Joe Burrow and the Bengals offense will be able to take advantage of that with some big plays.
And I hate to tell Titans fans this, but that wide receiver core for the Bengals is actually better than the Steelers wide receiver core, which has been good. But Tyler Boyd and AJ Green are having really strong games. Tyler Boyd, more appropriately, is having enormous games, and AJ Green's finally starting to come back in his own. And T. Higgins is a real standout this year, wide receiver from his rookie year.
Always liked him, and one of the things about Joe Burrow is one of the same type of traits that we always talked about Tom Brady. He makes people around him better. Mm-hmm. Joe Burrow is not playing like a rookie at all. And I think that's one of the reasons why the Dolphins are making the move they are as far as with Tua Tagovailoa, is the fact that Tua Tagovailoa has those same attributes. And I think that's why the Dolphin fans are ready for it. They're excited about it. They want to see Tua as the starting QB. And he has those same type of winning traits, just like Joe Burrow, being able to make folks around him better.
Well, and I think if the Dolphins can do like what the Chargers have done with Herbert or the Bengals have done with Burrow, and that is give him full confidence to say, look, this is your team. Don't worry about going out and having a three-interception game and then we're just going to pull you and put Fitzpatrick back in. And that's also why I think they should be a proponent to trade away to Dallas, is that he's a threat. Fitzpatrick's still a threat to Tua. And as long as he's there, that's going to be in the back of mind of Tua, is that, they have a guy who can come in and get him a win, so they might pull me. I think if they can just sit there and tell him, like, look, you're the guy, we're going with you, play your game, and give him the full control of that offense, then, yeah, I think he can have the same success.
And look, Tua, you saw this during Tua's career at Alabama. He's not the kind of guy that makes mistakes. I mean, he's a pretty, he's very smart, makes really good decisions. He is really good about, you know, his reads, and he's not one of those guys that plays carelessly. And I think that's another attribute that in the end probably, you know, made the Dolphins decide, hey, it's time and we're ready to go with this decision.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing how he performs coming up this week. And just think about, you know, with Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert as well, you know, this new crop of quarterbacks this year and just how much fun that is in the league. And you think about next year with the possibility of Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields. I mean, some new sheriffs in town.
Yeah, I know. And then you add in already Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, those young guys. And it's starting to be back to the quarterbacks of old and having actual quarterback competitions out there in the NFL.
If you'd like to be a part of the show, 615-844-5600. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. Watching traffic build here on the South Loop, the West Loop. It's picked up quite a bit now. 65 back up into Madison. There's been a crash with injuries in the 4,000 block of Central Pike. That's going to put it over in Hermitage. Still working wreck over in Two Rivers. 2,600 block of McGavick Pike. 12th and Lawrence still has traffic shut down in that area at the intersection from that collision. Hey, celebrate autumn at Obergatlinburg during Oktoberfest. Now through November 1st, visit Obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
This is Jim Renitz, CEO of InsBank. InsBank has been proudly helping Middle Tennessee businesses, people we consider friends. InsBank is a true local bank built by and for Nashville business leaders. A place where clients' best interests come first. A place where you have access to local decision makers. And a place where you receive the personalized service you deserve. It's because we are a different kind of bank that knows what makes sense for you and your business. Come visit us at our Green Hills or Brentwood office or online at InsBankTN.com. Your bank, your partner. Get to know InsBank, where genuine matters.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Come on, one more rep. You got this. 10. There it is. Nice work, man. You're a beast.
Thanks, man. I feel better than I have in years. And I got to tell you, taking Nugenix makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix? That's the testosterone booster with TV ads with Frank Thomas. The Big Hurt, right?
Oh, yeah. The patented key ingredient is Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone levels and increase lean muscle mass.
Well, it's clearly working for you. Hey, are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try for themselves?
Yeah, Nugenix is a great way to increase lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance.
Man, I need to get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix.
No problem. You just got to send them a text. Text TIGER to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of new Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help get you back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text TIGER to 42424. That's TIGER to 42424.
Hey Nashville, this is Crazy Charlie Sonnier, executive producer of WNSR, and I'm here reminding you that Bongo Job at the Omni Nashville Hotel is the best place to start your day in the Music City. Their new limited summer hours and menu is simply the best in town. From burritos to smoothies, plus the new biscuit sandwiches and croissant, Bongo Java has you covered. Located at the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue downtown, they're open from 7 to 11 a.m. And make sure you tell them Crazy Charlie sent you.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR Skyscan Forecast. For this afternoon, mostly cloudy skies, highs at around 67 with a light wind out of the north-northeast. Tonight, clouds will roll in with scattered showers, lows going down to about 53 with a light wind. For Wednesday, mostly cloudy with showers, highs at about 68. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Rich Brennan. Sports Radio,
every weekday afternoon, it's the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Zach Williams, 615-844-5600. During the break, I was seeing this. You know, Florida expected back on the football field at home Saturday night as they play host to Missouri. They have not seen any action since October 10th. You know, that's when they went out to College Station and lost to Texas A&M. But, you know, they've had 37 positive tests for COVID-19 during the month of October, six as of last week. So this Florida Gators team certainly hit hard as far as the month of October with regards to COVID. Just a bizarre number. And Vanderbilt expected back on the football field at this point. They're going to be playing Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock start time for them as they play host to the Ole Miss Rebels. By the way, the Tennessee Titans, several transactions today. First of all, they signed linebacker Darren Bates and offensive lineman David Quisenberry to their active roster from their practice squad. In addition, you know, yesterday they had released Will Compton. Today they signed Will Compton along with Paul Adams to the practice squad. Paul Adams, by the way, interesting story. He entered the NFL as an undrafted college free agent with the Giants last year. And then as a rookie, he also spent time in the practice squad for both the Cleveland Browns and the Washington squad as well. And for those that don't know, You know, he, besides playing his college career at Missouri, he was raised here in Nashville, earned actually Mr. Football honors as a high school player with the CPA. So a little bit of some hometown
a little background there, huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think? So it's been the rumor mill today is that the Patriots are thinking about trading Stephon Gilmore, the cornerback, and of course that gets Titans Twitter all in a tizzy.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure all that out. I mean, is this one of these things where, you know, Bill Belichick is just convinced that this is not going to happen this year, so let's just see what we can do moving forward? I don't understand some of these decisions that they're contemplating at this point.
I think one thing that might be more apt for the Titans to at least look at is that Eli Apple for the Panthers was released today. And they released him due to a nagging hamstring injury that he's not able to stay on the field, which is a legit, you know, problem if it is. But his problem is that he's been released now from the Giants, the Saints, and now, you know, the Panthers. I just wonder if the Titans, you know, I've seen Eli Apple play, and I put it on Twitter, and some people really told me that, you know, that's terrible. I've seen him play. He's not a bad cornerback. He has all the intangibles. He's got size. He's got speed. It's just he needs something. I don't know what it is. There's something that, you know, he needs a good coaching staff around him or a good team around him. I think that's worth a look for the Tennessee Titans just to find out, because in all of it, he's better than Jonathan Joseph. We know that.
Well, he doesn't cost too much. He, back in May, he signed a one-year, $3 million deal with Carolina. So he's not like going to break the bank or anything like that. But, you know, it's not a good thing when the headlines goes, Carolina Panthers released oft-injured cornerback Eli Apple.
Yeah.
And that's the issue. And look, he's not going to help anybody if he can't stay healthy enough to be on the football field.
Right, but you know, something has to happen for this Titans secondary. The Adoree Jackson Band-Aid does not just fix this bleeding secondary for the Tennessee Titans. It's got to be something else out there. And I mean, you have to, like I said, at least a look at, a figure out, a tryout, whatever it is you need to do. But even the Gilmore, you know, if there's a way that the Titans could try talking about that, I see that being a real possibility, because if you look at the J-Rob's past here, he loves getting former Patriot players. That's just how it goes for him. He signs them right over. So Logan Ryan worked out. Why wouldn't Gilmore work out?
Well, the other part, too, about Eli Apple you bring up, and this is the part that's kind of like, what is going on there as far as not either, is he not properly stretching? Why is he so susceptible to these, you know, either hamstring injuries? He spent the first three games on IR this year with ankle foot injuries. He played in week four against Arizona. He played six special team snaps before another hamstring injury forced him to miss the next two games. I mean, how is it possible for him to keep having these kind of nagging injuries?
Well, you know, the injuries can pile up. That does happen. But what doesn't happen is because you get injured, teams just completely move on from you. So I wonder if there's something else there, that maybe it's more of a mental state that he's there in Carolina and the coaching staff doesn't like it, and they've reported that, and now they want him to move on. And he's not playing. He doesn't want to play, so let's just get rid of him. That's my thought. Because there's plenty of players out there that have hamstring issues every single year, and they constantly look at Will Fuller for the Texans. Every year he'll hurt his hamstring, and then he'll come back and he'll hurt his hamstring again. But they don't move on from him because of that. They know the player wants to be there, that sort of thing. So maybe the mentality has just been bad for Eli Apple to where he doesn't really want to return, and maybe he just doesn't want to play for the Panthers, and the Panthers didn't want him to play there.
Like, he, you know, on Sunday, he played 28 snaps in the contest against the New Orleans Saints. He had four tackles. Earlier today, he arrives for practice as Carolina's getting ready for, you know, as far as for their Thursday night game against Atlanta. But during the media availability in that portion, he basically left, and he was reported as a non-participant. And according to Matt Rhule, the head coach, he says, quote, he just didn't feel like he could go, so we sent him inside.
See, I mean, that's the question marks start popping up there, yeah?
Yeah, because it doesn't sound like just injuries. It just, I mean, he's 25 years old. Look, sometimes when you get to be this age, you know, you've got some money, and you've lost the desire to play football.
Kelvin Benjamin. This is exactly Kelvin Benjamin right now.
great at Florida State, but you know, you look at a player like Eli Apple, and you know, for whatever reason, I know it's hard for some of the listeners hearing that going, what do you mean? He has a chance to play in the NFL. You know, sometimes you just lose that desire. Jake Locker got tired of being injured. He lost the desire to play football.
Yeah.
That's why he walked away.
Andrew Luck. That's another one. Another big one who just was the injuries piled up and he wanted to move on. It was hard for him, but he chose to do it. And you're right. That happens a lot. And that's why I wonder if he can be around a team that is finding success, that has a fan base that cares, then maybe. But maybe that changes his mindset about it. But like you say, he's 25. He's still cheap right now, and he's got every physical intangible you can't teach. He's got the size, speed, hands, everything. So there's, I don't know. That's, people on Twitter told me I was crazy and it's not even worth it, but I don't listen to Twitter at all. I think it's worth a look for the Titans.
People actually say you're crazy on Twitter.
Oh, God.
Go figure.
You should see my DMs. I would get kicked off of Twitter if I showed my DMs.
But, I mean, the bottom line is I'm not going to fault the guy. You know, if the body just doesn't cooperate, you get to the point where it's just like it's so frustrating and you go, okay, what else am I going to do for the rest of my life? Because you get tired of dealing with the nagging injuries.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that also could be the actual answer to all this, is that he really does have physical problems and he just can't get that part figured out.
And because this has been his entire career. You know, you think about when he was first drafted back, you know, he was a 10th pick overall in the first round back in 2016 by the Giants. And, you know, and his whole career can be summed up by often injured.
Yeah.
And that's sad, unfortunately.
No, it is. And you just hope that maybe he can figure it out. The team's going to pick him up. I don't believe he's going to get picked up. And that's where I think the Titans have to at least take a look at it.
Or he may just walk away and say, enough's enough.
I'd be very surprised if that happens.
You know, I've made enough, and, you know, I'm just going to walk away.
Yeah, it could happen. It could. But, you know, you don't want the Texans to pick him up or the Colts to pick him up.
I'm going to float the whole theory about Ryan Fitzpatrick to Dallas with our next guest. We'll see if Barry Wilner can buy into Ryan Fitzpatrick putting on a Cowboys uniform and leading them to the promised land. He is with the Associated Press up in New York. Pro32.ap.org is the website. He's on the way. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. Watching traffic pick up quite a bit in the last 10, 15 minutes out here on the South Loop. 65 starting to build up through Madison. Clarksville Pike at Buena Vista. There's just been a wreck there in Bordeaux involving some injuries. Still working that wreck over in Oak Hill. 4,000 block of Franklin Pike. And it's busy there in the 3,400 block of West End in Midtown as they work that two-car crash. Jingle your way through Winterfest aboard the Redneck Comedy Bus Christmas Light Tours. Visit redneckbus.com. for tour times. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time
traffic. When you're Middle Tennessee's Community Bank, you have a greater responsibility than just offering a menu of smart financial services. You make it your mission to know your neighbors and meet their needs, and you invest in the people around you, from the new family to the small business. At Wilson Bank and Trust, we're proud to be the kind of institution that's always working to make our great community even greater. Thank you for supporting us in our efforts to serve, give, and grow. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
How'd you like to eliminate your expensive cable bill forever or get new satellite internet where cable can't go? Well, now you can have affordable satellite internet service for a few dollars a day. All you need is a mini satellite installed and you can have unlimited internet connections wirelessly in your home or office. And no cable boxes means unlimited connections and no clutter. You can surf the internet or stream any of your favorite television services with no cable. And the best part is satellite internet service costs only a few dollars a day for your entire home. Yes, fast internet to surf or stream television for a few bucks a day. Call now for free details and learn how to drop your expensive cable bill.
800-942-1298. 800-942-1298. 800-942-1298. That's 800-942-1298.
Hey, Bill King here to talk about the Omni Nashville Hotel like you've heard me do so many times. Bar line specifically here. New summer hours, 11 a.m. to 1 a.m. Delicious food and drink. Bourbon barbecue chicken wings. Also the Bear Bones Burger and everything else you're going to love on that menu. Remember, the Omni is also the location of Commitments Year Number 3, which is December 16th. Bar lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue, downtown.
What in the hell's an internet?
Nashville Sports Radio has been covering Music City for over 20 years. From your radio dial to the App Store, there's no reason you should be without Nashville Sports Radio. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Nash Sports Radio. We would have a TikTok account, but we're old and we don't know what that is. From live games to live streaming, at Nash Sports Radio has you covered. Download the Nashville Sports app to your phone now, or the puppy gets it.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
Listen to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show online live at WNSR.com.
And welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Don't forget, coming up just after 5, our good buddy Doug Segrist joins us out of Birmingham. He is a co-host on the TV show The Zone in Birmingham on ABC 3340. But right now, a chance to talk some NFL. Barry Wilner, pro football writer with the Associated Press up in New York, the website pro32.ap.org. Barry, hope you're having a good week to this point. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Johnny, how are things?
Life is good. Thank you for asking. All right, so yesterday we were floating this idea out there. The Miami Dolphins moving on, and Tua Tagovailoa going to get the his first start coming up. And, you know, we're looking at the NFC East, and Zach had a theory about the Dallas Cowboys. You know, why not, as far as Dallas is concerned, find a way to maybe make a trade with the Miami Dolphins to bring Ryan Fitzpatrick to Dallas? Your thoughts?
Why would Miami do that unless Dallas offers maybe a second-round pick? There's no reason for Miami to do that. Tua, you know, Tua has to prove he's healthy during game competition. Fitz has shown that he can do the job in Miami if they find that Tua is not ready. And to have a valuable backup for a team like Miami, which actually is in the, you know, the playoff scenario right now.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a long shot, and you just don't do that.
Well, and speaking of which, with that said, you know, why do you think, is it because of what Joe Burrow has done with Cincinnati and Justin Herbert with the Chargers? Why now with Miami, knowing they're only a game out of that seventh playoff spot, why now make this move? Is it because they believe in the upside with Tua Tagovailoa? Why would they make the move now?
Yes, the upside has a lot to do with it, and the fact that they had an extra week because of the bye, that they could get him ready with all the snaps and all the extra time to prepare in the film room and things like that. I think all of those things worked in the favor of making this move. And remember, the Dolphins had their bye week moved from November to October because of the rescheduling due to the pandemic. So I think this was the plan all along, but it would have been a few more weeks before it would have happened. And I think that they just decided to move it up. The one thing I will ask you, Johnny, is would you like to be the newbie quarterback on a team when you're facing Aaron Donald and the Rams?
Yeah, very good point. Yeah, that is not what you what the doctor ordered, that's for sure. You know, but one of the things, too, we look at this Dolphins team, and look, I like what Burrow and Justin Herbert have done to this point. And one of the things that when we think about Tua Tagovailoa and what he was able to do at Alabama, I mean, he makes good decisions. And, you know, he takes care of the football. And, you know, back to that point about the upside, you know, the Dolphins very much, you know, they're only a game behind the Colts as far as the seventh spot is concerned. But how about the fact that there's not a single team in the NFL that's allowed fewer points than the Dolphins? I mean, the Dolphins, as far as points allowed per game, they've only allowed 113 points in their six games this year.
The defense clearly has improved, and, you know, it improved last year under Flores, who's obviously a defensive coach. they've got some real talented players. You know, Xavier Howard might be one of the best cornerbacks in the league, and he certainly is a playmaker. He seems to get an interception every week. They've improved their linebacking core. They're getting a better pass rush than they've gotten, although it's still not what they want. The Dolphins are one of those teams that could be somewhere around 500. Now, will that be enough to get into the playoffs? I'd say in the NFC it definitely would not be. In the AFC, possibly.
I mean, we look at their losses. The Dolphins are 3-3. They lost to this was when Cam Newton and the Patriots were decent. They lost by 3 to Josh Allen and the Bills, and then they lost by 8 to the Seattle Seahawks. But, you know, since then, I mean, they went out onto the West Coast and destroyed San Francisco 43-17. But, you know, I watched the Rams last night. They look solid on both sides of the ball against the Bears. And I'm like you. I'm like, okay, of all the potential meetings, this would be the one where maybe they should have waited for just one more week.
Again, because they're coming off the bye, I think that wasn't considered. And the Rams do come off a short week, and they have to make one of the longest trips across the country that you can in the NFL. But all of that said, at some point, Tua is going to have to face a really good team or a really good defense, although there isn't any such thing in the division that they play in right now. Even the Patriots defense has got holes. So I guess it's, you know, a baptism under fire, and they're willing to try it in Miami.
Your thoughts about the game on Sunday, Pittsburgh jumping out to the 27-7 lead, the Titans with a chance to tie it there in the waning seconds with a 46-yard field goal. They miss it. But your thoughts on both of those teams, the similarities and differences as far as amongst the best in the AFC and those trying to be there?
I'll start with Pittsburgh, which is clearly the best team in the league right now. They're the only undefeated team, most balanced team I think we've seen out there. They are very resourceful, very resilient, and they showed that in that game where they could easily have blown a big lead. They did blow much of the big lead. You were able to hold on, and I think they were the better team in that game. That doesn't mean they'll be the better team the rest of the season. As for the Titans, they dug a big hole for themselves early on, and once again they showed, you know, how resourceful they can be. And I think the Titans can take a lot of positives out of that game in the way that they came back. In the way that even when they're far behind, they still can get Derrick Henry going to help them come back. Not that often that running games can help your team come back from big deficits, but they did some of that. There's some issues on defense, clearly, that need to be addressed, and they have time to do that. I think both teams should actually have positive outlooks coming out of that game.
Well, and I think that that's one of the things, too, as far as with the Tennessee Titans, you know, the players were talking about it after the game and the fact that it was a good loss in the sense that, you know, with finding ways to get W's week in and week out, it was kind of hiding some of the issues and masking some of their problems. And this gives them the opportunity to fully address those issues to improve moving forward, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and they should not look past this week, though. I expect them to beat Cincinnati. But the Bengals are an improving team each week, even though they haven't learned how to finish yet.
Right.
And I think that Joe Burrow is going to test them for sure.
Well, and that's the part, too. You know, he's going to attempt probably 50 or so passes, if not more. And, you know, when you think about this Titans secondary, because, you know, they're still having issues getting a nice pass rush and putting pressure on opposing team's quarterback, it does leave that secondary vulnerable. Still no Adoree Jackson. And, you know, when you're attempting that many passes, when you're as accurate as Joe Burrow is, you know, he is going to have some success against the Titans on Sunday.
Yeah, plus, if they get Joe Mixon back, it would bolster what was a very weak running game against Cleveland in a game that, Bengals had the ball with some time left at the end, they would have won that game. That was one of those games whoever had the ball last with some time was going to win. So I wouldn't look past that team. And, you know, something you mentioned that, Titans fans should be a bit concerned about is the team brings in a couple of pass rushers and not getting much of a production out of either one.
Yeah, we're waiting. And, you know, it's, you start to wonder, okay, when does that start to happen? And I think it goes back to remember, you know, you don't just replace Adoree Jackson. I mean, he was one of the 10 highest-rated cornerbacks last year in the league. And, you know, when you miss somebody like that in the secondary, you know, one of the ways to improve your pass rush is to have an improved secondary. Well, having no Adoree Jackson back there, it certainly hurts not only the secondary, but it also hurts with regards to your pass rush as well.
Yeah, for sure. And that, we've seen that with a bunch of teams around the league when they lose a top, whether it's a safety such as like a Jamal Adams with Seattle, or it's a cornerback who goes out. We've seen it have an effect on pass rushers.
You know, your thoughts so far, you know, we've watched Joe Burrow. We've seen Justin Herbert as well. Tua Tagovailoa is going to be added to that mix coming up this weekend. But, you know, so far as with Burrow and Herbert, you know, it's fun. I mean, if you're a fan of the NFL, getting a chance to watch these new kids on the block, per se, as far as the new quarterback fraternity and just what they bring to the table. I mean, I had a chance to watch the fourth quarter of that Chargers-Jacksonville game on Sunday, and it was a delight just watching the decision-making from Justin Herbert, the rookie.
I agree with that to a point, because we also see some of the quarterbacks who are in their second or third years who are regressing. So while it really is fun to see not only how Burrow and Herbert are doing, and, you know, add to it to that at some point, and the rivalry that these guys may have as we move forward. I hate to bring this up, Johnny, but I have to every time I talk to you. You know, you see what's going on with, say, Sam Darnold in New York, and you see what's happening with Josh Allen, who's really taken some major steps back the last 3 weeks in Buffalo. And, you know, there's quite a few quarterbacks around the league that, you know, starting to get questioned whether they're the right guys.
Well, and why is that? Because, you know, we had that same situation happen here, remember, with Vince Young. You know, he took the league by storm early on, and then the league caught up with him. And to me, like in Vince Young's case, you know, just wasn't putting in the work necessary to keep making the adjustments to keep getting better and better. I've never had complete faith in Josh Allen with the Buffalo Bills. And, you know, and so I'm not going to disagree with you there. And as far as with the Jets, I think it's just that culture, you know, with the Jets and with Sam Darnold. And, you know, for me, I have never been that person that's 100% sold on Sam Darnold being a franchise quarterback in the first place. But I don't know if you saw this earlier today, but Trevor Lawrence saying, you know, at this point, you know, the plans are to declare for the draft. However, that doesn't mean it's going to happen. And he's and so we go back to the Jets, you know, 1-15, hoping they had the opportunity to draft a Peyton Manning until Peyton decided to go back for one more year with Tennessee. And now here's Trevor Lawrence floating that possibility that not so fast, it's not a foregone conclusion that I'm declaring for the draft.
Yeah, well, you know, I always think it's a great idea if you're enjoying college to stay in college and keep playing and keep enjoying that kind of life. But then again, you're turning down millions of dollars for a year. So that, I guess, is part of the equation. But I also think that there's more than one team that Trevor Lawrence might be interested in avoiding. You know, Washington could be another destination that he could wind up at that he might not want to you know, be in. And, you know, you look at some of these teams at the bottom of the standings, if we're talking about quarterbacks, Minnesota, they've got all this money invested in Kirk Cousins, and they're really stuck with him for another year. It would just be too expensive to dump him. But you'd have to think that if they have a really fiasco of a season, that they'd be interested in grabbing a quarterback very high in the draft. Atlanta. You know, Matt Ryan would have tremendous value on the trading market, and again, his contract is a difficult thing to deal with, but it's nowhere near as bad as Cousins. So we've got a situation where we could see some more upheaval next year, regardless of where Trevor Lawrence winds up in the NFL.
And plus, Justin Fields starting to look really good, closing that gap. It could be Justin Fields instead of Trevor Lawrence for some of these teams making that decision. You know, time will tell. All right, before we let you go, remind everybody again what they can expect as far as pro32.ap.org.
It's a place to go to read about any team in the league, and we have some great stories about whether features or game stories or analyses, columns. Everything we do football-wise, pro football-wise, is on that website.
Hey, Barry, thank you again. Have an incredible rest of the week. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right, thanks, Johnny.
Thank you. That's Barry Wilner with the AP up in New York. Coming up, we'll wrap up hour number one. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. We're looking at this crash that just happened out here. TDOT's on the way. It's 24 westbound at Shelby. That's 24 westbound at Shelby. A truck has laid over on its side north of town up in Millersville on 65 southbound. That's going to put it at the Millersville exit, again, around mile marker 98. Again, a truck's laid over on its side. 65 north at Wedgwood, checking on a wreck there. Brick Church Pike at Briley Parkway may have some injuries. Celebrate autumn at Obergatlinburg during Oktoberfest. Now through November 1st, visit Obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
The final lap with Kerry Murphy is on.
Martin Truex Jr. is on, and should a driver be black flagged for having radio issues with their spotter?
I don't think so. I mean, in my opinion, I think, you know, it's kind of a tough one to judge on there. You know, I think the spotter safety part is more for what, you know, when crashes happen or when safety vehicles are on the track or not so much just racing and driving the car and you know, trying not to cause any issues. So I guess it could be just depending on the situation, but definitely a, you know, tough one to call. Obviously, I guess it's, you know, it is a rule that you have to have a spotter. But we've seen in the past where guys have radio issues, and I don't know that we've ever seen anyone black flag for it. So definitely, you know, kind of a ball and strike call, I suppose.
All right, so one driver on another driver. What does Martin Truex Jr. think of fans booing Joey Logano?
not really. I mean, I think, you know, he's been in a lot of altercations with a lot of drivers, so I guess that's probably part of that reason. But yeah, I don't know. It's I think he has his own approach, and you know, doesn't apologize for, you know, he does a good job, obviously, and wins a lot of races. So, you know, I don't know that, you know, he makes decisions in the race car based on how many fans he has and if he gets booed or not.
Like us at facebook.com/thefinallap.
Progressive presents The Sounds of the Old World.
The year is 2019, and someone is getting up to use the bathroom at the stadium.
Excuse me. Oh, sorry. Excuse me. Mind if I just squeeze by here?
This has been The Sounds of the Old World.
Brought to you by Progressive, where drivers can still switch and save like it's 2019.
Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
What are real people saying about Skechers ArchFit footwear? Joe from Hilton Head says, I need arch support and these shoes have it. Joe, Skechers ArchFit don't just have arch support, they have podiatrist certified arch support that was developed with over 20 years of data. Next Pete from New York writes, great for walking. I stand a lot of work and the ArchFit keeps me comfortable. My feet don't feel tired at the end of the day. Okay, Pete gets it. He's walking, working, just living in Skechers ArchFit. These shoes are great for virtually everybody. Find podiatrist certified Skechers ArchFit at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
According to the Social Security Administration, there are over 9,000 combinations for how you can take Social Security. Choose wrong, and you could leave thousands on the table. Hi, I'm Ken Murray, founder of Retirement Planners of America. Social Security can be very complex. You can receive a free Social Security consultation. We'll help you choose the option and build a plan to help your money last as long as you do.
Call for your free consultation now. 800-375-1159. 800-375-1159.
Call the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show now. 615-844-5600.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Zach Williams. This hour being brought to you in part by the Klein Press and Law Group here in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and the Southeastern Conference with over two decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Now, their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Press and Law Group, they've represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee, all the way to United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with the K, KleinPrestonLaw.com. All right, so tonight, the Dodgers, Zach, with a chance to wrap up and win the World Series. Tampa Bay trying to force the Game 7. Let's just make it exciting. Let's get the Game 7 and see how it plays. Although, the Dodgers, you still feel a little sorry for them knowing what had happened a couple years back with the Houston Astros.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. They're letting the Rays hang around too long.
Plus, you know, for me, from Atlanta Braves standpoint, you know, we don't want the Dodgers still to be hungry next year. So
I've heard that a couple different times.
Yes, yeah, so let's go. Let them go ahead and win it, and that way they lose that desire in their belly, and it'll be the Braves' year in 2021. All right, first hour in the books. Hour number two coming up. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.